tape number 402, dated August 17th, 1979, and this is side one, Mae Brussels from Carmel, California. I promised last April, this last April, tape 383, that I would give an overview of history. I've received many letters from people asking for just a general overview of how we got into the mess we're in today. And, of course, my overview is an interpretation based upon my research that began with the assassination of John Kennedy. I'm going to try to do three tapes for you, no more than that. It's a good chance, opportunity this summer to do this for you. Take the time to do it and get away from just Lee Harvey Oswald or whatever it is, the news of the weeks, and for the next 3 weeks and with this tape, try to give you just some dates. It's an impossible job to give you all the dates I have or think are important. I've tried to condense some that I think are important to pinpoint some of the events in history that have altered today's newspaper that you open up today. Now, my work is specifically the areas of murders and the consequences, the meetings of people, their motives, and the organizations behind the power organizations or institutions. I'm not going into battle lines or the victory of a particular war or where the soldiers were at a certain date or when they were defeated. In most cases, that is not what I'm going to put down for you. And I have a library of thousands of books and many, many thousands of files. I simply have to condense what I think are some important dates. These events have something to do with people who want to become wealthy, people who have wealth and want to maintain it, the institutions by which they protect it, whether they grab or steal or exploit it, the armies with the means by which they kill their opposition, whether it's soldiers or police, and the courts that protect them from illegalities, and the machinery by which courts are turned around so that these particular, whether they're monarchies or presidents, in order to have that power, if they usurped it through murders and crimes, the courts cover up for them. There's a lot left out of here, but I make no apologies. I think that some of these dates you'll find interesting, and I'm going to share them with you. Before I begin, I would just like to do about 2 minutes on history and my view of history before we run down these dates. I sincerely believe that the worst enemy isn't any particular country or person. It isn't Alexander Haig or J. Edgar Hoover or Alan Dulles. It isn't an agency like the Defense Industry Security Command or the CIA or the National Security Agency. Institutions exist because they're made up of people, and they exist because we allow them to. When we put the power into their hands, it's theirs. This happens because people are afraid, because they're stupid, they don't care, or they don't care enough. When they care enough, it changes. When the French decide they had enough of the kings and queens, they had a revolution. When America had enough of Great Britain, they had a revolution. When the Bolsheviks had enough of the Tsar and the Tsar's army, they had a revolution. Nicaragua got rid of the Somozas. They should have gotten their smarts the day he was in, or the day that he began to acquire all the wealth and industry and means of support of that country. And many, many people have died needlessly because they didn't catch on and they just gave too much rope to this leader and that family. And when people have had enough, that's it. The Bible begins, and I always refer to this because I like it, the forbidden fruit is knowledge. Why did the power structure write that? Who had the printing press? Then, and today it's the establishment. They wrote that knowledge is a sin. Knowledge actually is freedom, and they don't want you to know it, and ignorance is slavery. And I sincerely believe that our own worst problem is ourselves. It's in ourselves, and that if we can't work that out, we can't get to the solution of a lot of things. That's why the Bible begins with Cain and Abel, when the brothers are fighting each other, instead of the two brothers fighting the warriors that are coming in to rape the town and the women and pollute their land, then they're in trouble. When brother fights brother, you're in trouble, and strength comes in love and being together, and the divisions are what allow the power structure to get a hold of us. I actually do believe that. I believe the problems of this country go back to the slave policy with the blacks and the genocide policy with the Indians and the importation of the Chinese and with the railroads bringing them in. There's a man, Ben Wattenberg, who wrote an article in the magazine section of the New York Times. This is last July, this July 22nd, 1977. It's called "It's Time to Stop America's Retreat," and he talks about defeat in Vietnam and mercenaries in Africa, and people are on the radio talking about oil and energy in the Middle East. It's my view of history that we can't stop retreating until we look in the mirror and make some changes. If you want to make yourself over, you look in the mirror. You don't turn your back to the mirror if you want to change. And until we examine our past, we can't go further, and eventually it's going to kill us. The cities will all burn, and the discord here is turning to hatred just like it did in Germany. It's very basic. It's combined with our guilt and our hate. Looking at the people we brought in, the Mexicans, the Chicanos, and now the Indonesians, and not being able to handle our exploitation of them and rationalize it with the stated goals of the American dream. The other side of the coin, because things aren't all bad, is somebody like Joseph Papp from New York City. In the same issue, the New York Times, this Broadway producer said that he's putting on plays, $3 million into what is going to be the finest Shakespearean company in the world. He's going to take it to England, it's going to start in New York, and it's going to be black, Hispanic, and Asian. And Joseph Papp states that he said the political situation in New York is partly responsible for my having a black company. I live in New York City where blacks are powerless and Puerto Ricans and Asians are powerless. We all suffer, and it's bad for the city because the frustration is going to build up. There has to be an outlet. You can make people equal culturally, and you don't have to pass laws to give them equality. He said the theater is my way of doing it. Now, whether you're a merchant in a retail business or whether you're a plumber or real estate agent or belong to an electricity union, whatever you do, if each agency had the philosophy of Joseph Papp and began to incorporate into our society and learn from other people, fine people, and help those stop the narcotics, the drugging, and the alcohol that goes to the Indians and blacks and incorporate them into our system, America would begin to solve her problems. So long as we hate, we will build agencies to defend our wrongness, and we will have dictators and people over us who, because of their general hatred, do not do things that benefit this country, laws, decisions, and wars. It all comes out of hatred and racism and genocide, and it didn't begin with Adolf Hitler. Genocide began many places with the Spanish going over to South America and Central America and with our American Indians right here, so we'll just limit it to what's going on right here for the time being. There are two ways to study history, and you can't do one at the expense of the other. They have to go on at the same time. You can take the chronology of a life, such as Henry Luce or John Kennedy or Lee Harvey Oswald or Adolf Hitler or Aristotle Onassis, and you can go from birth to grave. I just finished reading this week the biography of George Orwell. You can carry him from birth to grave. But then you have to take those dates and slice them off, type them up and put on a piece of paper, and then slice them and then put them into chronological order into the year so that you know where these people were and at the time they were at that place, what else was going on in the world. It seems that this is the best way to study history. It's never been taught in the schools. But in order to understand history and the lives of individuals and how the lives are affected and how they're moved around by the movers, you have to place them into these time slots rather than that lineal view of studying the biography of George Washington or Benjamin Franklin. That's why we were taught school Abraham Lincoln. But we weren't taught what else was going on in the world while Abraham Lincoln was president of the United States. My sources of information for this chronology come from my own books, my own files, newspapers, government documents, and material that many of you have sent to me. I'm appreciative for it. I've included it in here, and you will recognize a lot of it. There's a writer, Sidney Lenz, who published an article in 1973 called How It Really All Began, and he's written some books on American labor, American empire. And the gist of this article was that Vietnam is no accident, but the inevitable result of a policy pattern of the American economic establishment. And he takes issue with David Halberstam, who wrote The Best and the Brightest, that Vietnam was a fluke or a mistake, that good people went wrong. And I totally agree with Sidney Lin's view of history that what has been going on in the conniving and the murdering and the coups, and those are the areas I really am interested in, the assassinations of public officials or the witnesses to those murders, and the coups, the overthrow of government to take it from a moderate or a conservative government to a police state of fascism. When I talk about coups in this chronology, they'll all be going from the middle to the right. None that I'm listing go from middle to the left. And the assassinations and the coups are the result of planning. We didn't just wake up one morning in 1941 and find that our ships were bombed in Pearl Harbor. That's what happened to most of us. We woke up and found out it was during the daytime. The news came on about the war starting, the Japanese blowing up our ships at Pearl Harbor. There wasn't any history taught, any of us that I know of, really on the background of Pearl Harbor, that would explain how this event took place. There's one other thing I want to mention before I run down the events of history, which really has nothing to do with the chronology, but it has to do with the Jewish-Christian phenomena, because through this chronology, you'll hear me speaking a lot about Nazis and how they've affected our culture since 1912 up to the present time and certainly into the future. The Jewish religion, for some reason or other, produced four people who altered the entire course of history, for better or for worse. They could have been used, I give the example, if you go out to a fine meal and you're dining and you're using a knife and fork, the tools that are invented make a very pleasant evening. But in another place and another time, somebody is taking the knife and fork and still killing a member of their family or a friend or associate, and they can stab with the same knife and fork you can kill. So it depends on which way you use the tools. But going back to the early problems of that later developed into this Nazi anti-Semitic regime, Jesus, the Jew, and finding the Romans, and then Christianity based upon the life of a Jewish hippie type, living a very simple life. Christianity was the excuse for the rape of the world. They took that. Middle Ages, the Inquisition, and up to the present day. Various sects of the Christian Church have been the excuse for the rape and the murder of people high up in the ruling class, the ruling families. The most outrageously rich and prosperous are also the most religious. It was Jesus versus the Romans that set up the religious conflicts. Then Karl Marx set up the conflict of money in the present times. I say there was the French Revolution, the American Revolution, but not till Karl Marx came along was it death to the finish, even doomsday bombs to kill everybody in the world, or this LSD and these chemicals at BZ that is stockpiled, I mentioned last week, in three different places, enough to outdo the minds of the entire world population 10 times over. Karl Marx came along and presented a new idea as against the monarchies and the ruling class, and money became the reason for raping and polluting the world after Karl Marx. The matters got worse once Karl Marx emerged. And then Sigmund Freud showed up in Vienna and introduced the concept of the mind, the free mind, the conscious mind, the unconscious mind. And the church had control of the mind for the most part. The church did control our thinking, whether it's Jew or Gentile in this case. The mind, to free the mind or to change the mind and all of the mind, became the consuming desire of John Foster Dulles and Alan Dulles, going from Freud to Carl Jung up to the present day and projecting it to the future of reading our minds, directing our minds. Sigmund Freud opened up the levels of the mind. And then Albert Einstein in Germany brought in the nuclear energy as against cosmic energy of Wilhelm Reich, which one ended up dead in an Arizona jail over some fluky charge, and which one ended up the hero of the 20th century, of course, Albert Einstein, the destructive energy, the energy maybe that could be used for something valuable that is polluting the streams and the rivers and possibly all the oceans and the air and the atmosphere, used wrong. These were the basic revolutions. I think the Christian religion, after they killed Jesus, the communist revolution after Karl Marx came, the revolution of the mind and of energy. And these are the things for which people fight and abuse each other and are literally killing people off on planet Earth by the millions, almost daily, thousands of people are dying from one form of disease or hunger or the boat people or Pakistan or famines created even by satellites or solar energy. The Earth is being abused because these contributions were abused, and these are really basically what the fight is over: religion, money, mind, and energy. The chronology I'm going to give you on dates is only going to be years. It's not going to be dates or months because I don't have time to separate that for you right now. It's really a hard project. I don't have a staff or secretary. I'd put them all in index cards in chronological order. But before we get into those hunks of years and the way events moved up on us, like the sludge moving out of New York City towards the shore, I just want to give one brief example of the chronological history that I mentioned, and specifically take the person of John Kennedy. You can study his personal life, a linear chronology, which I have a list here of important dates. You can study the chronology of his specific foreign affairs, his contributions, his efforts, his mistakes, his major decisions in the foreign affairs, and then I have a list chronologically of his domestic bills, why he was killed and what he was doing domestically. I think his domestic bills were superior, his foreign affairs were blunders, and he was totally ignorant of the forces around him. John Kennedy survived an attack on his boat when he was in the war, World War, in the Navy, but even though he could swim to shore and save himself there, and he wrote a book, Profiles of Courage, and he studied history, he didn't have the overview of history, or he would have run scared or changed the institutions. He fell right into their lap and was swept up in the sludge, just as George McGovern was swept up in the elections when he ran against the Watergate team. John Kennedy simply didn't have the right, the right oars to swim against these forces. Chronologically, you say he was born in May 29th, 1979, my birthday. He went to Stanford University in 1940. I went there from 40 to 43, but I didn't know John Kennedy. Summer of 40, I was there. I didn't know John Kennedy was there. Graduate School of Business in the fall of 1940. He left in 41 and went to South America. In 1937, his father had been the ambassador to the court of St. James. He was brought home by J. Edgar Hoover because he was so pro-Nazi, Joe Kennedy, that it was embarrassment to the United States to be that Nazi overtly, just quietly. In 1944, Joe Kennedy Jr. was killed over Europe on a dangerous mission. In 1946, John Kennedy was elected to Congress, and when we go into those years, important years, I'll show you how important it is to put him into that time slot of who else went to Congress in 1946, and then he began serving in January 47. 1948, his sister was killed in a airplane crash in France. In 1951, he met Jacqueline Bouvier. An article in the paper in July by Ellen Goodman on Jacqueline Bouvier Kennedy, saying Jacqueline is fundamentally a mystery. No matter how many books are written about her, we can't find the clues. We have a mystery without a motive, is the description of Jacqueline Onassis. That it's a question asking who she is, what kind of a person she is, what does she represent, and the more pieces you get, little do you know. To say that he married Bouvier in 51 is a fact, but a little background on the Bouvier family and the movements of Jacqueline Onassis explain maybe the answers to the mystery that Ellen Goodman was writing for in the newspaper. But he married her in 53. In 57, he was investigating the Senate Permanent Committee hearing on labor racketeering. In 1960, an important date, and we will again go back and put in its time slot, John Kennedy said, I'm announcing my candidacy for President of the United States. By July 14th, 1960, Robert Mayhew was at the Plaza Hotel working with the assassination teams that were, in quotes, against Fidel Castro. They were the CIA and organized crime making a marriage between those two in July 1960. But this young person, John Kennedy, had announced in January of 60 he was going to run for President of the United States. Now, earlier in 1952, John Kennedy went to the Senate where he represented Massachusetts, and he defeated Henry Cabot Lodge, Jr. Henry Cabot Lodge, Jr. was involved with the murder and the cover-up of Diem in Southeast Asia just 30 days before John Kennedy was killed, and Henry Cabot Lodge, Jr. was opponent of John Kennedy for the seat in the Senate in Massachusetts. He was defeated by John Kennedy in the Senate, but he goes on to be involved with the assassination teams of his opponent in 1960. Furthermore, in the time slot, this junior, the son of Henry Cabot Lodge, was the man who sabotaged the peace plans of Woodrow Wilson at the end of World War I. He was in charge of the Foreign Relations Committee in the House or Senate, and he was the opponent of Woodrow Wilson, who had been poisoned in France and was dying. Then Henry Cabot Lodge, Jr. is defeated by John Kennedy and is in Vietnam, and you can read all of this in the Pentagon Papers. I'm not giving the sources for the dates, but history becomes very interesting when you interweave what these people were doing, what their brothers were doing, their children were doing. The apples didn't fall very far from the tree, and then history really gets into a can of worms when you add Miss Bouvier and the Onassis Churchill connections to the John Kennedy story. So by January 60, he was going to announce his candidacy for president. In July 13, 1960, he received the nomination for president on the first ballot, and it was July 14th, that one day later, that Robert Mayhew from the Central Intelligence Agency and the FBI is meeting with the assassination teams. John Kennedy was having his debates with Richard Nixon, who was running for president of the United States against him. Richard Nixon lost that election and was in Dallas the day that Kennedy was killed and worked closely with Henry Cabot Lodge, Jr. in that group. His television debates were going on, but Kennedy didn't know that the invasion was being planned for the Bay of Cubes with Richard Nixon as the director of that. And when Kennedy pulled back, that was excuse or motivation for the assassination teams to work with the CIA and organized crime and kill John Kennedy. His inauguration was 1961, January the 30th, 1961. February 1961, 1 month later, Patrice Lumumba was killed in the Congo by the Central Intelligence Agency. The teams that were set up overtly, when you're meeting in hotel rooms with organized crime and the CIA, that's pretty overt almost. It's not even in little halls of the intelligence community. The Bay of Pigs took place in April of 61, and then Bay of Pigs operators and agents were involved in the assassination of John Kennedy later, as I said. In May of 1961, John Kennedy was meeting with Charles de Gaulle in France. Neither of them were aware till later that Permandex and the Defense Industry Security Command that succeeded in killing John Kennedy was also planning and lost several attempts to kill de Gaulle. He was singled out to be murdered also. John Kennedy met with Khrushchev in 1961. He didn't take the lesson from Eisenhower and the Khrushchev summit meeting that was downed in 1960 with the involvement of Lee Harvey Oswald and Gary Powers in the Soviet Union. He was meeting with Khrushchev trying to make a peace or d'entente of a sort. And then the same Lee Harvey Oswald that helped sabotage the U2 meetings in 1960 is at Dealey Plaza and the alleged assassin and patsy to cover up the Mayhew teams that killed John Kennedy. If this is getting a little complicated, you'll just have to replay the tape over and transcribe it yourself, because it's going to go fast, and I'm throwing out names for new listeners, I'm not defining Mayhew and certainly not Khrushchev or Gary Powers. You'll simply have to go to your libraries and read your books on each one of them. In 1963, December 1st, 1963, or November 30th, Diem was murdered in Southeast Asia. And, of course, that was set up by the Central Intelligence Agency and Henry Cabot Lodge, Jr., and high officials of the Pentagon. And at that time, John Kennedy's assassination was planned for that same weekend in Chicago, but was put off 1 month later because he didn't go to the Army-Navy football game. But John Kennedy was murdered in 1963. So you put him in a time slot with a literal volcano of energy, of plans, connivings, of plans to kill Castro, to kill Lumumba, to kill de Gaulle, to kill Doc Hammarskjöld, to kill Diem, and to break up the Khrushchev meetings, and you put him into that time slot opposing Henry Cabot Lodge and Richard Nixon and Robert Mayhew, who represents the Howard Hughes Aerospace and the CIA and FBI. And when you run down the chronology of this young man, and he was the youngest president of the United States, and put into time slots, you get two different views, but I don't have to overemphasize the point of the can of worms that John Kennedy was sitting in. Now I'm going to try the almost impossible, but do the best I can to run down some important events. Let me reiterate again as we run through this tape and the next several tapes that if I mention a date or an event, it may be just one section from an entire book or files. It's not complete. It's just to give you an overview of history. And the earliest date, I can't go back to the Romans or Jesus. I'm going to start with 1826 when the Freemasons and the Illuminati were gathered together as a secret society. And a William Morgan, a writer, was murdered in 1826 because he started to reveal the secrets of an organization known as the Freemason Society. I have a lot of material on Masonic assassinations. Jumping to 1830, which wasn't far behind, 4 years later, was Joseph Smith, the founder of the Mormon Church, getting his laws and revelations. I select this particular event because of the power and control of the Mormon Church today, the data banks of everyone on planet Earth going back to the year 600, Mormon, non-Mormon, Orientals, Chinese, the continuation of the Nazi genealogy, the Interpol, or they were certainly forming their data banks before Meyer Heydrich, the blending of the police departments, the computers, the information that is a microfilm in those rocks that should be blown up to smithereens and discarded. It was all put together, accumulated through the years, and just several years after this particular person died for revealing the secrets of the Freemasons, Joseph Smith got his miraculous revelations into what was to become the Mormon Church, and then the Mormon Church went on to become the front for the Central Intelligence Agency and took over the entire Howard Hughes body and empire and the building, the Mormon Mafia controlling the interests or the power behind the Lockheed, the U-2 flights, the Hughes Enterprise, simply chauffeurs and gophers, the men that go for this and go for that, became the heads of this huge empire, and there are many, many books on the CIA and the Hughes Mafia, so that right after the secrecy of the Illuminati story or trying to reveal it, Joseph Smith gets his wonderful vision. And so shortly after that, a few years later, was the Civil War in the United States in 1838 when slavery was abolished. If the South had won the Civil War, they would have direct connections with France and England, but the power structure was splattered, and then the North made their connections with those countries when it was over. There was an effort when the war was over to block further revolutions and to destroy the South, give them as little industry as possible, don't build them up, break up this mass of territory, and keep them dependent upon the North.